This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki.
Good afternoon and welcome to Wahine Atua for another Wednesday afternoon. With me I have Fee, Marcia and Crystal. Ladies, thanks for joining me again today.
Good afternoon.
Hey, obviously, the last few weeks, hasn't it been a bit crazy? We're all getting a bit stressed out with running out of petrol potentially and what's happening and who's doing what and who's done what according to the politics and all the rest of it. There's a bit of stress out there, which made me think, what are we doing to give ourselves a little bit of joy in our life, really? And what are we doing? And so we started having a bit of a conversation off air about crafting and how it's something that's really had a resurgence, really, hasn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Marcy, you were telling us about a podcast that you've been listening to. So tell us about that again.
Yeah, so I listened to this podcast by a British-based Canadian comedian, if that keep up there, called Catherine Ryan. And it's called What Is My Age? I believe that's what it's called. So basically she gets guests on the show. They give a sample of their blood. So it's not any vampire or anything. It's just a finger prick that they do. And basically she talks to these persons about what they do, how they live their life, how they've lived their life previously, their health goals, the things that they do, any trauma they've had in their life, any generational trauma that they've got. So the one I was listening to today was Ruby Wax, the American comedian. UK-based.
Yeah, cool.
Amazing woman, very traumatic childhood, generational trauma. Her parents were in the Nazi camps in the Second World War. So she was talking about things like that. I've not heard the end of it, so I don't know what a biological age is. But they talk about the things that you do in your life that can actually help release things from your body. And one of the things that comes through quite clearly in all of the ones I've heard so far is some form of creative release, whether that be crafting, reading, meditation. It's something, escapism, I guess, is the thing. Something that takes you out from the here and now. I mean, we sat here and Tracy's knitting.
Yes.
While I've been sat talking because I'm a bit of a fidgeter. Look what I've made. I've made a paper snowflake because I've just sat here with a piece of paper and a pair of scissors, and I've got loads of little things like this on my desk. And these, it kind of just resonated with me when I was on the way home today, particularly in how these can just remove, control cortisol and, you know, if you've got yourself all et up, I guess that's adrenaline. And then a way of relaxing and de-stressing, how do we do it? I mean, I like my crochet. I love all sorts of crafting, making, fussing about.
Yeah, it's cool. I think a lot of people do use it. It's that, I know I do. Like, I can't go to sleep at night unless I've been knitting for a while. It's like, it's a habit that I do. I have the TV on and I sit down and I pull out knitting needles. And my grandkids have got so much knitting, it's unbelievable, because I knit every night. I do it every single night. I just pick up my needles and off I go. And it's something now that I do without even thinking. But it's that dopamine hit. It gives me that dopamine hit just to give me that fix, as it were, so I can relax and calm down. And it's the same with, actually, Brian said it on breakfast the other day, and he said, there's a really good saying somebody said to him once, and that is, if you're so stressed, just sing. And I thought, you know what? That's so true, because if you think about things, and if you like what we've all talked about in your brain when you're lying in bed and you go to bed at night, and those of us who have, crap sleep, that your brain it's turning that brain off to be able to relax enough to go to sleep. And some people medicate, and some people self-medicate, and some people do whatever they do to go to sleep. And I must admit, I've probably tried everything and anything, but the one thing that does calm me down the most is actually just sitting there knitting for a little while, just to calm down. It's interesting also too, when you look at social media, all of these craft groups, have you noticed that?
So many.
Massive, massive. Fee, tell us about what you've been doing lately, because this is quite interesting.
Yeah, well, for my creative outlet has been photography and writing, so which kind of go together, like to me, photographs are visualization of words, and with words, I want to create a visual. So I've written poetry probably since I was about 9, actually, when I started. Bit scary to look back on what I was writing at 9. I was a very unusual child, which should come as no a surprise to no one.
Well, you just stole my thunder there, then I was just going to
Yeah.
say.
I was
But yeah,
kidding
I'll
you,
save it.
sir.
There'll be
Surprise,
another chance
surprise.
later.
And I always thought about publishing it. People have said, oh, some of it's good. Obviously, some of it's absolutely rubbish. And then I thought, but when people read words, you put your own emotion into it. And I was worried that people wouldn't get what I was feeling, because that's the whole thing when you're a creative. You want people to understand. I mean, like you use colours in your knitting because it's a happy thing, or it's, what emotion you're trying to invoke. So I decided that I would create songs. So I got into AI, which, as you know, Marcia, you're great into AI with doing your cartoons and things, to create songs with the genres and the vocals and things that evoke the emotion of those experiences through my life. And they're not necessarily about me, the stuff they've written about, but it's also about things I've seen, or in fact, I have been asked to write poems, for people's weddings and things like that, and then doing them. And it's been quite therapeutic and relaxing. It's like looking back on your life and there's little snippets, because I've actually still got my books from when I was 9, which is an amazing feat in itself. And just I pull out a random couple of pages and then just type it up and do it. And I'm slowing myself down because, one can be a little bit hyper focused. But
No.
it's quite relaxing, and I've found that I've started doing more writing again. And like, you say you sit there and do some knitting, Tracy. I just start finding words and reliving it and just relaxing, and but it's meditative as well. It just relieves you from the stress of the day. I mean, work can be busy, family can be busy, and and it doesn't cost any fuel, which is absolutely awesome. So
Yeah, that's a good. No, you're not writing it in petrol then.
No. I mean, and I mean, I've stopped watching the news. In fact, I stopped watching the news before COVID. And I think that that's put me in a far better mental headspace than many people, because I've worked on the theory that if the world blows up, someone's going to let me know.
Yep, same. It's
But yeah.
true. It is so
But yeah,
true.
so that's my thing. It's just, and that's mindfulness. It's, yeah, it brings me joy. And I don't know if it brings anyone else any joy. I mean, I started a YouTube channel, which is interesting, and I've got some subscribers, and some of the songs have got over 1,000 people have listened to them. So,
Excellent. Really
yeah,
good. Really
so it's
good.
interesting.
What about you,
I think
Kendra?
you should publish your poems. Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
What about you, Crystal? What do you do?
I'm a crocheter.
Yeah. Yay,
Yeah,
Jean
yep.
Crochet.
Yeah, so yeah, Marcia and I have compared a few projects over the years, but I'm also very, very into Stranger Things. It's like my one thing that I can't seem to get away from. So a lot of my crochet centers around that. But I am currently making a Hulk blanket for my son, who's really,
Oh,
really into Hulk. So that's coming along quite nicely. I've got a bit of a bung shoulder at the moment, so I've got to do it in little patches, but I think, yeah, listening to what all of you were saying, like I'm quite an active relaxer. So I
Yeah,
like to be,
same.
yeah, I like to be along the water and I like to be, at the gym and doing all that sort of stuff. But I can't do that at the moment. So it's been really good to have another outlet where I feel like I'm still doing something, but it's kind of like that, the healthy dissociation, like you can get into very unhealthy dissociations of the brain, and you can get into the short-term cortisol releases and all that through social media. But this is kind of like the long-term stuff that our parents and grandparents used to do. That, it's like it's a long-term release, and it gives you a finished product instead of that continuous searching for that quick dopamine hit all the time. So.
I
That
saw
is so lovely.
something on social media, so obviously it's true, for every older person's hobby that you've got, you live an extra decade.
My kids call me an old nana all the time. Yes, it's true. Like I am a nana. I do have a grandson, but I am only 42.
Yeah, I know. It's funny though. It is funny because, like we were saying before, the other thing with me is obviously theatre, and it does exactly what you're talking about at the beginning, Marcia. It's escapism for me because I get to go and pretend I'm somebody I'm not. Like I can pretend and waltz around and do whatever I like, and it's that whole escapism. It's the same with singing for me. It is that to be able to, whether it's in the car with stereo up full blown singing to myself, or whether it's singing for people at weddings or whatever, you get a lot of enjoyment out of it, and it's that escapism for me. It's quite funny. Marcia, tell us about other things for you, because you don't just crochet.
Oh no. Well, one of my things at the moment, one of the things I've got planned to do the weekend is I'm making soap. That's something that I started. I just fancied having a go. Oh, I'll make some, and then I really enjoy it, and I love the science of it. I love to see two things come together that make something that you can't take apart because it's actually scientifically changed into something completely different. So I kind of quite like that, and that the fact that my interaction with it has actually made that happen, and it feels a little bit like magic, but it's really easy to do. And then I like the finished product, and it's good for my skin, and
I can attest,
it's cheap.
Marcia, after using it, that it was good for Roman's skin as well. And he's got such bad eczema. That's actually all we so I'm gonna have to order some more because it's all we've been able to use on his skin that's actually been
Oh,
okay.
perfect. Well, I'll make you a batch.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'm doing
Beautiful.
some this weekend. So that I really love that. And I'd started making it for myself, and then I was giving it away to people, and people said, oh, can I buy some? Can I buy some? So I tinkered around and set myself a Facebook page, and had this idea, of being a, I don't know, a soap something or other. But I do it for pleasure. I'm not doing it as a business, but at Christmas and Mother's Days and Easter's, I tend to make a bit extra, just to sell for no other reason than to recoup because the price of olive oil's going up. Because I make it with olive oil, and that went up to, it used to be $9 a bottle, and then it went to $30 at one point for a litre. So, this is the other thing with your crafts, they cost.
Too bloody
They
right, they
sure do.
do. I know
And
my
there's associated costs
yeah.
because my crochet is actually two hobbies because there's buying yarn
It's a separate
and
hobby.
using yarn.
Yes, I'm. I should
Two
show you
completely.
my yarn cupboard at the moment. I don't
I've
ever
got
go to it and
a
see which one
room.
I need. I've got a whole room. I kid you not. Plastic container after plastic container after plastic container. And
You
even
see, I've got a
like.
bookshelf. Mine's all on show, Tracy.
Oh.
It's in our little library room. I've got a floor-to-ceiling bookshelf full of yarn, all
That's what I've got as
colour-coded.
well.
So
Oh, well,
I
I'm
can't use that
not.
yarn because it spoils the display.
No, well, see, I've got the ADHD brain of me is it's like a cluttered mess, but I know where everything is, and it's like this, organized chaos. But you were talking beforehand about cost-wise. I actually, like, I'm sitting here knitting at the moment, knitting singlets for somebody, and a lady asked me to knit her some singlets for a little new grandbaby that she's having. But you know what? You go and buy the wool, because obviously you wanted wool, 100% merino that I've knitted in, and it's $10 a ball. I've knitted two singlets. Well, this is the second singlet now, and I've knitted the two hats and a couple of pairs of booties. It's cost about 40. Probably if I was to go, maybe I've got a little bit left over. So probably if you said like there's five balls, so that's $50 for the wall. And then if I was to add my time into it, and I worked it out and I thought, how long have I spent knitting these singlets? And because they're in this mistake rib, they're quite fiddly in the sense that even though I know it's not like I love doing lacy patterns and I find lacy patterns a lot easier than doing this monotonous stuff because I get a bit bored, but it takes like every you're not actually gaining much length each row you get. And so it probably has taken me 10 hours to do a singlet each.
Still cheaper than therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
True.
Yeah, it is. And that's it. And I sat back and I thought, you know, like if my hourly rate, if I was to charge work out, you know, like if what I would, it would be a, you know, a $200 singlet.
And
And
then
that's
people
that
can't
minimum
pay for it.
wage.
That's such a labor of love, eh? And I don't
Isn't
think
it? You
people really
know?
realize how much goes into it, not just of like, because you're really putting all of your good intentions into it at the same time, aren't you? Like you're thinking about the person that you're making it for, and
Absolutely.
it's exactly like harikiki and raranga and weaving. Like you're thinking about these people and making it for them. So all of that goes into it, as well as your time and the materials. And then you feel stink, like if anyone ever does ask you to price something up, you're like, oh, I don't know, like whatever you can afford,
Well,
you
I
know?
got like I was I had exactly that, and she said to me how much, and I said, oh, I said it's $50 too much, and then I thought, holy shit, then now and another it's $100 for a set, but then again, you'd pay that in a shop, and it's. And it just was hand knitting, but I still felt guilty. But yet, our money probably being paid 50 cents an hour. You know, like it's not a lot. It's not a lot. But you do it, as you say, you do it for the love of it and the enjoyment of it and the stress relief of it.
I
I
mean,
mean,
knowing that
we're
you're
on Zoom tonight, and you mentioned harikiki, Crystal,
I can
and
see
you
it
could
behind
see
you.
my piece. That was my fourth piece that I weaved. I went to a class in Waitara to
With Karen?
Karen's kits.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She is. She is.
Initially, I went there to learn that skill in the thought that I would do some at home, but I just prefer going there.
Me too. I actually started doing some mahi toi and doing some ranga, sararanga, and I really struggle with it. It's going to take me so long to get it that I need to keep going and keep going and keep going. Even though I can crochet, it's something about finding the udder, like finding
Oh,
the path of it. It's just so, yeah. But I love it. I love
I
working
love
with harikiki,
working
and it's something
with
that my koi
harakiri,
used to do. Yeah.
and the it because it's a multi-sensory for me. It's the touch, which is beautiful, the smell of it, and then you're working with Karen, who's so generous with her time and explaining. I mean, I made the backpack, which is what you three can actually see hanging behind me here.
Beautiful.
I'd never use it because it's too precious. Because I just love it so much. And I know you're supposed to make them for other people. My very first piece I did make for somebody else and give it away. But this one I decided I was making for me and that I was going to make it to hang and not. And I specifically wanted it for my office. I wanted it to decorate my space. And for me, it represents Aotearoa for me. So it's a little bit of New
Oh,
Zealand in my
it's
office because I
beautiful.
tie things in my office represent me, and this kind of represents
Love
that
that, Marcia. And
bit
it's
of New
nice.
Zealand in here.
It's really nice to hear you made something for yourself as well, because I think so many of us, like, I've hardly made anything for myself. I make
No.
everything to give away to other people, and I love that. And it's so nice knowing that something has come from your hands to give to somebody else, and that there's such a big part of you in it. But yeah, I don't know about the rest of you. I find it really hard to keep things that I've made.
Yeah, I do too. I'm exactly the same. I don't think I've actually, like, I've made scarves with the intent that I'm going to have them. And then somebody said, oh, that's nice wool. And I've gone, oh, well, you can
You
have
want
it. Yeah, you take it.
it?
But I haven't actually got, I don't think I've got anything. I don't think I have. I don't think I've got
Maybe I'm just
anything.
getting a bit more selfish in my old age now.
I like
I'm
it. I
starting
think you. I think that's
to.
beautiful.
It's self-care.
Yeah, you're right, Fee. That's exactly what it is.
It's about reminding, that you're part of this process, your creativity. Like, because you're a giving soul, so in general terms, And it's just nice, and you're giving to yourself because you deserve that as well. And our creative ventures are, we get the joy of giving it to people. And for that, you are giving it to yourself. You're giving you yourself that joy.
I also find, because as you know, one of my other creative outlets is home renovation.
Oh, your upcycling is amazing.
I love a bit of upcycling, and I'm true to my Yorkshire roots. If I can do it on the cheap, then I will. Or if I can be nice and frugal, I will be, and reuse, recycle. But I like to, every space that I do, I like to have something in it that either me or Matthew or both of us have made.
Nice.
So there's something of us in it. So it's not, nobody else can have it. It's not all shop bought. It's not all, so it's kind of, because this is our forever home. We're not going anywhere. You know, it's the first time we've felt that this is our final foray.
But your
So, you
roots,
know, we're kind of putting our stamp on it.
It's quite funny, you know, you talk about putting extra little bits of things of yourself into things, because I know so many knitters who do a mistake stitch deliberately. You know, like that. I do know so many knitters, and I know, I must admit, sometimes when I've knitted stuff and then I've got through to nearly the bottom and I've seen, not that if it's a drop stitch, I absolutely, the OCD in me has to go back and fix it. But if it's a slight mistake in a pattern that you don't notice, and only I will notice it, 9 times out of 10, I will leave it there, and I often think, oh, well, that's that mistake stitch. It just happens. And how many times do you notice it when you do get things? Because you never notice it, do you? If you get
That's
given it,
right.
you never, I know it's there, but they don't know it's there. It is quite interesting. My great aunt used to paint, and she, I can remember when she started painting. May she rest in peace now. She's been gone about 3 years now. But when she started painting, they were diabolical, absolutely diabolical. And she was so proud that she'd done these landscapes. Well, bugger me dear, by the time she'd passed away, she'd actually sold a hell of a lot of paintings. And it was, I think, half of it was the fact that you could feel the enjoyment that she had when she was painting. You could actually feel it in the paintings, how much she actually really loved doing what she was doing. Personally, I don't know whether they're my taste, but however, quite interesting, eh? But
Well,
you know,
some of the great masters, or some of the paintings that have gone for a lot of money, not necessarily my taste, but I wouldn't turn one down.
no,
No.
that's true. That is true. It is interesting,
So
eh?
when you do your songs, Fee, have you got something, you know, like you're saying, a drop stitch, or I know weavers will have a certain style, you'll be able to look at things and go, oh, that's so and so's. Have you got something in your song, like you've always got a diddler do, or something in every song that you do? I don't know. I am not
No,
musical at all.
because each one is, I mean, I have noticed I've got a certain theme. Like I've realized I quite like jazz.
Really?
Nice.
Sorry, we can't be friends.
But it's relative to what that song's about, you know. It's that, because to me I visualize this, the sort of smoky, you know, the bar and this whole scene. There's others. I was brought up in country. I know, which is so there's some that have got that sort of country, you know, we're talking old country, like Marty Robbins, you know, real old school, that have got that. But then I even did it, like my mum loved rap, I mean, which cracks me up. But it's what those words
What
represent.
era was she here listening to rap?
She was, well, in her 70s and 80s.
I
Yeah,
love
I
that. I love that. A bit of
so she's
Eminem.
older. Yes, she loved Eminem.
Excellent.
But it's how I want, it's the words or the style that just, you know, really shows that emotion. And it's even whether you have a gritty voice, a male voice, and you've got to really, well, you know, anything with AI, you've got to be very specific because it's not intuitive yet in general terms. So I spend a lot of time, sometimes I, you know, redo songs over and over and over, and it's just not right, and I'll leave it and I'll come back the next day. And other times I'll just go, this is what I want, and it just comes out, and I'm really happy. And those are the ones that people don't generally listen to, you know. But that's about the creative. And I mean, I know that with my photography, there's some that I'm just so excited that I think this is the best thing, you know, ever. And people are like, oh yeah, like, oh great, so
Nice.
nice. But one of my other creative things that I really enjoy is actually finding original New Zealand artwork in op shops. Like it's like my,
Ah,
it's because I'll buy a piece. I'm just looking here.
scavenging, I guess.
Well, I'll buy a piece like I could, as long as I can read the signature, and then I go and find the artist and find out why they painted it. And so I've got a whole lot of pieces of, and obviously I don't tell them I picked it up for, $10 at the op shop, because it was one was like, oh my goodness, where'd you find it? I says, oh, it was at a, a pre-loved art place.
An antique store.
But I've got one piece that I picked up for $3 and is approximately $3,000.
Wow.
Amazing. And but I wouldn't sell it because I'm, but that just sort of makes me go, oh, it's, and that
Real
makes me,
fun.
and the artists really, because being a creative myself, being appreciated, but like someone actually tracking them down, which I do, better than the FBI, really. Send them a picture of the artwork and say, look, I've bought this, I love this artwork, and I'd really like to know something about it. And I've got some quite unusual work. And then they're really happy to go, oh, it was this and this happened, and it was at an early part of my career. And, and you can actually see how they've developed, because it's often the earlier stuff, great auntie, whatever is, been given it and doesn't want it anymore. And I love it. And it's quite a, yeah, it gives me joy. Because I know I've passed that joy back to that person who probably, like we do, poured their love into it when they made it.
Absolutely.
Whenever I
Funny
see a crochet blanket in the op shop, I'm like, ooh, I ought to buy that so I can love it for him.
It's quite funny you ladies talking about that, and you're talking about the art stuff fee, because I'm a bit like that, but mine's got nothing to do with art. Mine's to do with looking at old cemeteries, because I absolutely love looking around and walking around old graves. I really do. I get really drawn to them, and then want to find out about what's happened to that person. And 9 times out of 10, you go to the cemetery and you're the only person there, aren't you? You're like, there's no one out there. But I can remember going even to the Stratford Cemetery once, and finding people that you knew who'd lost children, and they'd never said anything, and yet they've got their babies, are buried out there. And you then find out that that happened. And I know my great grandmother and great grandfather are buried out there, and we found out more information about them just through the research that I did through looking after old records and up on old records and stuff that we never ever knew. Or you find family members that you never knew were buried in places. No, it's really quite.
It doesn't count when it's in your backyard.
No,
Depends how creative you've been with the
that's I was going to say, that's just the exes, not
patio.
Mind you, I did bury a rooster today. I wonder if that counts.
Oh.
I had a day to do a chicken last week. Oh, gold.
Yeah, I know. God forbid. God forbid. Hey,
I bought a cooked chicken.
I must admit, while it was sitting, we were sitting there digging a hole, my charming daughter said, Mum, you sure you don't want to pluck it? And I was like, oh my God, no.
Oh no, you
Can't,
can't pluck
can't, can't.
pets.
I couldn't do it. Nah, couldn't do it. I know some people can, but I just can't. So now he's buried and then picked a big bunch of flowers and put them on his grave. And it's like, Romeo the rooster is no more. However, I'm afraid he must have seen Juliet and thought she'd died and killed himself. Something's happened. Hey, you never believe it. That's half an hour up. Isn't it crazy?
No
It goes
way.
over so quickly.
No.
So I expect to see crochet hooks and iPads and everything out ready next time we record the show, because we'll obviously be able to keep up with what's creative and give everything a go, I guess it is. Just to have a go, isn't it? To have a go at things. Because you never know what you might fall in love with doing.
Hey,
Yeah, children
Tracy,
don't care if
just
they're good or not.
very quickly, how's the breakfast show going?
Loving it, exhausted.
Oh.
Getting up at 4 in the morning is hard. I will say that. Really hard. But yeah, loving it. Heaps of fun. Yeah, and have met some really interesting people, but I'll tell you about a lot of that off air anyway later on. Hey, we'll join you next week here on Wahine Atua. Have yourself a great week and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday afternoon.
Kaki tea.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air.
To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.